Hello, everyone on the internet. It is I, DJ Kirkland, and I'm back, Rubenless, with a new episode of Magical Boys. And before you think, is this going to be a monologue of DJ talking about whatever the fuck he wants for an hour and a half? It's not. And I'm actually joined by one of my favorite people in the world.
Stat my money, fast to go.
Fast to go. And if you recognize that voice from another little podcast, you know, a little podcast called Podcast of Color.
Boom, 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 boom.
It's my favorite trash bag, Rakeem Cunningham, again, joining us on the show, filling in for Ruben.
I'm back again. Is this the third time, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm back. I know that the haters are upset, but you're not stopping my bag. You're not Nicki Minaj-ing me today, bitch. We're here. We're queer. We're black. And we're here to be magical and shit. And I can't wait. I'm so happy to be here with my fellow nigga in the Franks.
Yeah.
And I'm still upset. I'm still triggered. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
But yeah, I'm ready to shoot the shit. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for just like agreeing to do this very last minute. I know I messaged you this morning and I was like, so listen.
Oh, no, look, bitch, you're fine, believe me. Anytime, I will literally be on the show every week if you want me to. So, it's...
Okay.
It's fine.
Okay. I'm gonna keep that in my back pocket.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, just saying.
Who knows? Who knows what'll happen?
you never know.
Oh, my gosh. But for those of you that don't know Rakeem Cunningham, he is an LA-based photographer, super creative, super black, queer, amazing person that Facebook reminded me that we have now been friends for a year now.
At least Facebook really?
Friends for a year? Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait, yeah, has it been that long already?
Yeah, why is 2018 the longest year in
like,
the world?
What the fuck? I feel like in any other timeline, it would have been 2026 by now. Like, what right. is going on?
Like, I keep forgetting. Someone had to remind me that Black Panther came out this year. It feels like that movie came out a million years ago.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Holy shit, that's February.
Yeah.
Wow. Remember when we thought we were getting Kingdom Hearts this year?
Bitch.
Oh, man.
Oh, Square Enix, we fucking thought.
Oh, my God.
But I know I just gave a little spiel about you, but tell the people about yourself that might not have listened to our previous shows, which if you haven't, you should.
Yeah, I mean, they're a black-ass mess. So Ruben is also very ageist towards me, and the first time I was here, he didn't know. He was like, you were born in 92, ew. let's see. What do I do? I am an artisan photographer in LA. I like to photograph a lot of like queer bodies and like heavier queer bodies and do self-portraits, and I like to fuck around with a lot of like fabrics and like materials from like where I'm from and part of what is a huge inspiration for me is actually a lot of anime and nerd culture. And I just had a show that was called Who Child the Ghetto.
Yes.
And in that show, there was like a giant installation on a wall. And on that wall, there were like a bunch of printouts of like different animes and different games. And like, I physically brought all of my copies of like the games I was playing when I was younger. So like the first time I was here, I talked a lot about like Final Fantasy X and like Tales of Symphonia and like Kingdom Hearts, and I brought all of those games and I literally like stuck them on a gallery wall and like amongst all these like pictures and things. And so that's kind of what I do. And so moving forward, like a lot of the work that I'm gonna do is probably gonna incorporate a lot more of those kind of elements. So I'm kind of looking forward to see like what that could be like, because I feel like that shit could be in galleries and stuff, you know, like why not.
Like, and all of the pictures that I saw that you took of the show and as you were setting everything up was really cool, because what's great is that like when you really get up close to it, it's like so rich with little things about yourself and the things that you love and all this other content, and it's, you really have to like get in there and get up close to it.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. It was really, really cool to kind of see that. I wish I could have been there to see and interact with it like in person, but just from all the photos that I saw, it was really amazing.
Oh, thank you, friend. I appreciate that. And it's the thought that counts. I realize that you're far, and that's completely fine. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I just think that, like, it's really cool because I just feel like queer nerds, or queer black nerds in particular, are kind of, like, taking over. Like, I saw that you did that thing about, like, Sonic Fox this morning, or was that yesterday on Facebook? And,
oh, no, that was this morning.
This morning, for sure. And he's queer?
Yeah, looks, it's in his Twitter bio. He IDs as bisexual. And he's, like... and he just won. He won the Dragon Ball FighterZ tournament at Evo this year.
So. Where does he live? Like, what city?
Oh, I think he's on the East Coast.
God damn it. Of course he is. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, but he is amazing. And, like, to see that, see Kotaku do that profile on him was really cool. And I'm like, we need more of this. We need more queer folks being visible that are in these spaces that are just like dominating and being amazing at what they do, because it's really incredible. So I was super excited to,
we're taking over, because you're doing, you know, you're doing your shit. And by the way, yeah, congratulations on that. Like,
thank you.
Of course. Like, DJ is amazing, taking over everything. I'm doing this little gallery thing, trying to do that. And then you have like Sonic Fox doing that. And DJ is apparently, you know, going to come and just take over a smash is what I'm hearing, and just kill everyone. So I'm, you know, I'm very excited about that. So, you know, black queer men, listen to the show, rise up.
Yes.
Wakanda forever. Wakanda forever.
Oh, so can we just, like, let's pull over for just a second.
Okay.
Have you seen that clip? Have you seen that clip that's been going around Twitter that's, like, from a porn? And the dude, like, the black guy is like knee deep inside of this. I'm assuming this either light skin or white guy. And he's thrusting, and then he's like, Wakanda forever. And
I'm yes!
Like, this is too, it's too early in the morning for this. He's on Twitter.
And he's wearing the neck. Oh my God. Why? Why do they let people do this? How is the check that good?
I hope the check was good.
Girl, really, your rent money would have had to be, that would have had to been shot on the 31st, because like, the rent would have had to been due tomorrow. There's no way in hell. Are you kidding? Ugh. That's why I'm glad I stand porn stars that would never. That's what happens when you get black porn stars that only fuck white models and they never go on Breed It Raw. Ooh. Oh my God. Let me stop. I need to. Okay. Let me stop. Okay. Let me. This is the wrong show.
Oh my God, I love it. No, it's not the wrong show.
Okay.
Like, we literally did talk about putting the replica Genji sword up our ass.
Excuse me? If I knew this beforehand, I wouldn't have agreed to this. Who said it? Was it you or Ruben? Because it's honestly me. Either of you. It I can't even, me. Like, which one of you said it first?
Me.
You did?
Yes.
Nigga, I can't... Why would you?
Oh my God! I don't know. But like, I can only imagine that there's some Overwatch parody porn that's gonna happen now that they have actual Overwatch like weapon props that you can get, and they're like true to size and all that stuff, and they're gonna be doing all kinds of stuff.
There's a porn out there somewhere that when the guy is coming, that like when Hanzo's coming, it's a scattered arrow. I know it. Oh, it's no. Somewhere, and I want to see it.
Oh no!
Internet, make it happen.
Yeah, please just make it real. Just bring it into existence. We need it.
Honestly, if Hanzo came and it was scatter arrows, I'd still let him do it. Have you seen the skin that he has with like the white streak in his hair, like he's Rogue in that bitch?
Oh, it's
ugh, good. A man.
Truly.
Ugh.
So, Shimada, when you have the time, bitch. When you're able to find the time with everything that you've got going on, like, what have you been playing recently?
So I have been playing a lot of the only thing I've really been playing other than Overwatch, I've been playing a lot of Danganronpa.
Yes.
I have been like obsessed with it, and all of my YouTube videos are like, oh, Danganronpa theories, character analysis, like, and it's kind of like taking over my life. And when I was actually uninstalling the art show, I was actually listening to a class trial.
Amazing.
From V3, like as I was doing it. So like that kind of changed my life, because the writing on it is fucking phenomenal, and it's like good. It's actually like such a good case study and like foreshadowing, especially in Danganronpa 2, because it's like the big twist that happens, like they foreshadow it like right at the beginning, and it's so obvious like once you know what the twist is, but if you don't, you would have never, like, it's so good. It's so, so good. But there's that, and then I played, I started up Final Fantasy X again because I wanted to beat it, and I just beat Unalesca again, and that bitch can choke. And I don't know if you saw this when I did it on my Instagram story, but when I beat her, I did it with Shiva's just for the gays.
For the gays.
Just for the gays. But yeah, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? So, a bitch has been booked and busy
for
the past, like, month and a half. So, I've been playing a lot of mobile games. So, I've been playing that new, that Dragalia Lost mobile game that Nintendo released. And, again, it's really cute and it's really fun. It's a gacha game. So, of course, it's like, oh, if you want to get this 5-star hero, you got to spend money on it. And I'm like, you're not.
Microtransactions or whatever they're called.
Like,
yeah.
I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Trash.
I'm not doing it, but
looks at fake grand order.
But when I'm not playing that, I always play Sailor Moon drops, because I'm starved for anything Sailor Moon related.
Okay, so can you actually, I have a question. Can you explain to me the Sailor Moon fighting game? Like, what in the fuck? Like,
so I have no idea why the Super Nintendo Sailor Moon Super S fighting game is, like, so popular, because I never got a hold of it when I had a Super Nintendo when I was a kid, or got, like, a Japanese version of the game or whatever, but apparently it's, like, a pretty decent and competitive fighting game.
No, it's kind of lit. Like,
it's low-key kind of lit.
I was looking at some of the, like, the tournament play, and I was like, it kind of reminded me of, like, Melty Blood, and then it kind of reminded me of, like, It reminded me of, like, Melty Blood mixed with, like, the Power Rangers game that was on, like, the Sega Genesis. Like, it kind of gave me that kind of vibe. So I was like, oh, okay, that's really cool. So, like, can you emulate it somewhere? Like, can you?
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure you can find, like, an SNES emulator and download the game and play it. I'm sure you can.
Have you played it before?
No, I haven't played that one before. But I did actually own the really, really bad Super Sailor Moon fighting game that was on the Sega Saturn.
Oh, wow.
It is not good.
Wow.
That is a bad game.
I forgot Sega Saturn was even a thing. Holy fuck.
Oh my god, it is not a good game at
Damn.
All.
Damn. Well, like, that's okay.
If you go look it up, if you just like look up Sailor Moon Super S fighting game for Sega Saturn, it is the most, like, you know that Rihanna meme where it's like, this is the most ghetto shit I've ever seen?
Yes.
That is what.
What's so bad about it?
It looks like, it just looks really bad. It's like when it was in that weird time to where it's like, oh, we can kind of do 3D stuff, but like we can't really do it. So it kind of looked like not even as good as Clay Fighters. It looked worse than that, with like these really, really shitty 3D models of all of the girls.
Yikes.
Against 2D backgrounds. But, like, it looks so bad. The music was good because it was, like, all the music from the show. But, yikes.
I feel like an indicator of a really bad game is if the music is really good. That normally, like, normally if the music in something is really good, the game itself is really shitty. Or, like, vice versa. I've noticed that. But, yeah. like, what game do you know that has a great soundtrack and is great, other than Final Fantasies?
The Persona games are really good games and really good music. But if we're just talking about like the world of fighting games specifically, there's so many that I really like that have both like good combat and music. Well, I took that back. The one that I'm thinking of right now, I think of it more about the soundtrack than I do of the actual game itself, is the Street Fighter EX games. like, those games are kind of trash because they're like the 3D Street Fighter games that they made in like the PlayStation 2 era. And some of them are okay, some of them are not. Mostly, they're not good. Street Fighter EX3 has like the best soundtrack.
Really?
If you listen to, it's Guile's theme, the song is called Strange Sunset. It's so good.
Should I add this to like my gallery playlist? Because all I do is listen to video game soundtracks at work. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, fuck yes.
And Sakura's theme is called like Burning Heart or like Passion something.
Protect Sakura at all costs. I love that bitch.
It sounds like a song from Sailor Moon from like the, it's really good. But do you know
the voice line that she does when she's doing like that in like Marvel, what is it, like Marvel superheroes, whatever, or like Marvel something versus like something superheroes, and it's like she's in there and like Blackheart's in the game and Sakura has that move where she like punches up and it's like a 3 uppercut. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, well, she's like, "Can up."
Yeah. I was gonna do her voice, but I was trying to damn it, dude. I just didn't want to be racist and say something that I didn't know what. But it's like, yeah, it's like,
yeah. I don't. What is that move called? I don't know what it's called, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
I'm dead because you know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do. See, this is why
I feel seen. Like, oh my god. Wow. I used to literally play that on my computer in the back of art history on Friday mornings in college because I had nothing better to do.
We stan.
Like, you wanted me to listen to an art lecture about art history on Friday morning when I'm 18 for 4 hours? Girl, bye. No. I'm about to play Spider-Man and Sakura and kill everyone.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
But that's, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Yeah. Yeah, that's it had to have been that.
No, it wasn't Marvel vs. Capcom 2. It was like, because like Captain Command. Okay, I have to find it. It was like Marvel superheroes, like versus
X-Men versus Street Fighter?
Maybe it was just X-Men versus Street Fighter.
Yeah, if Blackheart was in it, then it was probably X-Men versus
Street Fighter. Marvel superheroes versus Heroes. Street Fighter EX.
Oh, yeah. That was like the arcade version.
Yes, that's what I had.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah.
Oh, bitch. That was everything. Because all I did was play with fucking Sakura and Spider-Man. And then sometimes I would play with Chun-Li and then I would play with Dan. Holy fuck.
My gas would always pick Rogue and Cammy.
What? Oh.
Because I'm just that gay. I'm like, give me the girls in all the leotards.
Ooh, with the bitch. Hair. See, I was too scared to pick Cammy because I thought that literally was like, that screamed like faggot. So I was like, oh my God. Like, I can't. Like, I was like, if I pick this bitch, everyone will know. So I was like, absolutely not. Sakura, I could get away with because like she kind of looked like Ryu, and I would just make like this is really terrible. But at the time, I would make really like transphobic jokes, and then I'd be like, that's why I'm picking a girl. And then like that was my like cover up. But it's really crazy though when you're mentioning that, DJ, though, because it's like I'm realizing that, yeah, like who you picked as fighting games and like who you played with around who was really kind of like you had to code switch.
like there's definitely a lot of that would happen for sure. There's always a bit of code switching that comes with like having to kind of like, I don't want to get beat up by all these boys. And I guess I'm just going to pick Ken. And then I'll also pick Chun-Li so, like, the gay can jump out just a little bit.
Just a little bit. You know? It's like when you get a kill, it's like, tee-hee! You know? Just, like, a little bit. And then you can't really do, like, too much. But I get it. Damn. Yeah,
I think I went full gay when Super Smash Bros. Melee came out. And they were like, Princess Peach is going to be in it. And I was like, oh, bitch.
And she's like, I try!
Yeah, y'all actually put the princess as a playable character. And when I was, I guess, at the time I was in high school, so I was, like, 15... And I was like, I'm going to pick Princess Peach ironically because, like, no one's going to think that the princess is going to be good. But I'm
and then
the princess. But
in the
actual world of Smash Brothers, she was one of the best characters.
That tier list.
So
she said, hold my beer, bitch.
Yeah.
Okay, honestly, I don't know if this is like an unpopular opinion that's held like in the Smash Brothers community, but I actually think Melee is like my favorite one, but I don't know like what people consider like the best one.
No, that is a very popular and very common opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, so not at all. If you were like, you know what I think the best one is? Smash 64. And I'd be like, girl.
Oh, but, no. Absolutely not. But memories, though, bitch.
Absolutely.
That was my first introduction to, like, secret characters in a game. Mm-hmm. So, what?
Really?
Wow. Yes, that was my first. So my first video, my first introduction to secret characters in a video game, I think, was Smash Brothers. And I just remember, like, when I unlocked, I think you unlocked Jigglypuff first.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I think so.
Oh my god, when I tell you I could not wait to get to school the next day to be like, bitch, when I tell you, like, oh, it was everything. When I got Ness, oh, you can't tell me shit. I was that, because not everyone on the playground could have Ness, because not right. everyone was that girl. See, because I could get Ness if I wanted Ness, because I'm what? Sickening. But you can get Ness if you wanted Ness, because you're what? You're not that kind of girl.
What's so funny, like, we truly are, like kindred spirits, because I was thinking that as you were talking about it.
Yeah.
I was like, not everybody can have this because you're not that kind of girl.
You're not that kind of girl. You don't have the access.
And then you just said it. I'm like.
Period.
Period. There's nothing period. Else to say. Like, period.
That's it. There's nothing else to say. Like, period. That's it. This is the end of the episode. Bye.
Thank you all so much.
Period.
Period.
Oh, my God. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. I'm just, like, so excited that you're here, but what were you going to say? I'm so sorry.
I was going to ask you, have you been watching anything?
What have I been watching? The new stuff? I haven't watched anything from the fall season of shows yet.
Mm.
But what I have been watching, though, because I need stuff to listen to when I'm out of podcasts, or like I'm just like, I need some kind of like background noise, and I don't mm-hmm. really listen to music when I'm working. So I usually put on a show that I've watched before or seen before just to have it on in the background, because I don't have to really pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have started watching Kill la Kill again.
Yes!
But I haven't, I've never watched the show dubbed, and the dub is incredible. It is so good.
It's
really good. It's really, really good.
How's Mako?
Mako's voice is, it's perfect. It's like, that's what that character sounds like.
Okay, that's, in English. That's all I need. Okay, I'll try it.
It's really good. And Ryuko and Satsuki's voice actresses are perfect. The voice actress for Ryuko is Erica Mendez, I believe is her name. And
isn't that bitch off of Love and Hip Hop?
Off of Love Hop?
Not Love. Ah!
Shout out to the Reed.
When I heard that, bitch almost swerved my car off. I realize I'm also thinking of Erica Mena. That's not Mena. Yes. That's yikes. Sorry, I'm a hood rat.
But the names were close. But
yeah, yikes.
Oh my god. But that show was really good. It's really problematic, but it's still good.
Yes, I mean honestly, the idea of Erica Mena from Love and Hip Hop voicing Ryuko now has to happen. Like I need it, and I want yikes. I want Cardi B to voice Satsuki. Could you Oh my god, could you imagine if Ryuko was fucking Cardi B? She'd be like, in the, oh god, what is her suit's name again?
Senketz.
She'd be like, what does she do? She does, I am so high, let me stop. Okay, what is, she like does that thing where she like pulls the like wrist thing that like that cuts little, her thing.
That cuts her, yeah.
When she does that, I could just see her pulling it and be like, ow! And I'm
oh my gosh. So to all of the listeners at home, if you know your way around a video editing software and can dub over Ryuko doing her transformation sequence
with Cardi
and
B.
When she activates her suit and dub it over with Cardi B, please send that to us.
I will do it myself if no one else does, because I absolutely need to see that now.
Bitch, I do have iMovie. I could just slap that shit together.
I need that to happen. And then I also need someone during one of Mako's speeches to just put Nicki Minaj over it. Just
The Queen Radio.
Yes, the Queen Radio. Like over my, like when Mako does like her the X and it goes, Hallelujah. It needs to be like to freedom. And like that's amazing.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Wow.
Now all I can think about is, you think that rag y'all be walking around with a shiny fucking dress on? But she was
when she's trying to fight the life fibers for freedom? Oh man. Oh, we're terrible. Oh, we shouldn't be allowed to do this. Oh my God. Bitch. Can you imagine Nicki Minaj? Okay, hold on. I need to search this right now. Nicki Minaj, Kill La Kill. I need to see if she's been in an outfit. Oh my God. I mean,
she probably has been.
I'm doing it. I'm fucking doing it. Kill La Kill and Nicki Minaj is happening. Oh my God.
Oh my
okay.
God. Please.
Stay
oh my
tuned.
God, please.
I'm Kill La Kill Radio, Queen La Queen Radio, bitch,
Queen
bitch,
La Queen
bitch,
Radio.
Bitch, bitch, maybe we did something, oh my God.
That's the name of the episode, by the way.
Period, Queen La Queen Radio, oh my God, Queen La Queen Radio, I'm writing this down.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh my God, this is, oh, wow.
Wow, look at this, like, black love, like going back and forth, like brainstorming ideas. It's everything's just flowing. Everything's just organic. Everything's just real and
it's flowing.
And
yeah, it's flowing. So it's oh my God. You know what? Let me stop before I go into spoken word. Let's not. Oh, I'm excited. Oh my God. I'm actually going to do this. I literally just wrote. I'm writing it in the show notes right now. Make a video of Queen Radio with Mako and put Sen Ketz over Nicki Minaj.
Oh my God. Okay. So
so it's Satsuki then Cardi B?
I guess.
Who's Ragyo?
Ooh, I don't know.
Low-key.
Now I just wanna take the freedom speech, but when Mako is in the Fight Club costume and with the
oh my God
with the Fight Club outfit on, and then she kicks Ryuko in the stomach. That's when you do the to freedom.
To freedom. Wait, I'm going to do this tonight. Like I'm going to get very high and then just edit Kill La Kill videos. And there's nothing you can do to stop me.
I don't want to stop you. Wouldn't ever want to stop you.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Oh man, we've unleashed a monster. DJ, oh you God. Shouldn't have texted me this morning,
what
bitch.
What have I done?
Period. It's over.
It's over. Like, there's nothing else to say. Like, period.
Period. Sit, boy.
Oh, well, that's actually a great time to segue into what I really wanted to talk to you about today.
Yes.
Anyway,
pup play.
Was... Inuyasha.
So, Pup Play the anime. Period.
Period.
Period. Oh my God. Is Kagome a furry? Oh my God.
Is Kagome a furry?
Oh my God. Asking the real questions.
That is the question.
Oh my God. Okay. I'll let you intro the segment.
I think that was the intro. Is Kagome a furry? The world may never know.
Period. But, we don't know.
Like, there's nothing else to say. Like, period.
It just comes out at this point. Once the period seal is unleashed, it just comes out.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. So, I know that you, like, loved Inuyasha. Like, that was one of the, like, shows that you watched growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so funny to me is that, like, we're not that much different in age. Like, you're what, 26 now?
Yeah,
and I'm 32.
That's not, you know,
I'm like 6 years older than you.
Okay.
And it's so funny to me. It's kind of like how like Kid Fury and Crystal are like not that far, they're not that different age, right. But like it's like there are certain things that like are just very different. So we're not that much older than each other, but anyway, that's another conversation.
I get it. It's like like when Troye Sivan and like Charli XCX did the 1999 video and we're like, bitch, but you were, but like, you, why would you? Like,
y'all were literally five.
Yeah.
Like, but that song slaps though. It's cute.
Does it? Y'all hear something? I don't. But anyway.
But I know that you really, like, that was one of the shows that you grew up with, was Inuyasha.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you, like, you fucking love it. And I came into, I mean, we both clearly watched it at the same time, but we were at kind of at different points in our lives when mm-hmm. we were watching it. But I just remember watching that show on Toonami and only catching, like, the same 20 episodes or so. But in actuality, they're probably all different episodes, but Inuyasha is just the same 6 episodes
over just repeat
and over and over and over and over again.
Mumble Rap saw Inuyasha and said, "Hold my beer."
Oh my gosh, man. But yeah, do you want to talk to me kind of like about your relationship with Inuyasha and like what you like so much about the show, and we can kind of just like jump back and forth about it?
Yeah, so Inuyasha was like this weird thing for me where it was like the first anime that I saw in a way, like, so I saw Sailor Moon, like Sailor Moon was actually the first anime that I saw because my mom actually made me watch Sailor Moon. Oh. I don't know if I told you that, like, we used to watch it together.
You didn't tell me that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so my mom like introduced it to me, but like I didn't consider it like anime because I didn't know like what that was. I just thought it was like a cartoon, you know.
Right, right.
Like I didn't consider like Pokemon and all that shit anime. But like, so Inuyasha would be like the first like anime that I saw. Mm-hmm. And I saw it by accident because I one day like woke up at like 5 o'clock in the morning, and when you're like 10 or 11 or however old I was, like that shit is like really early. So I turned on TV, and I remember I turned on that episode. And it was the scene where, I don't remember what the full episode was, but I remember it was Kagome in a hot spring, and, like, you could see the outline of her titties. And I just mm-hmm. remember being like, what in the fuck is this? Because
right.
I remember being like, this is a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
What? And I remember, like, people drew this, and it's on television? And then there was, like, demons and shit, and I was like, what is going on? Like, and so I remember I got up at 5 o'clock the next day, and I watched the next episode, and then I remember staying for the ending theme, and I heard the ending theme with Do As Infinity, and I saw Shoshomaru on that rock with, like, the little thing he had flowing, and I just remembered Lee being like, I don't know what this is, but this bitch is some other shit. And that introduced me to what that was. So I would get up in the morning and I would start watching the show. And when I was in middle school, when I first got to middle school, and this is the first time I was in public school, mind you, like, and I had like a rolling backpack and all this stuff. The way that I would organize my folders was I would put different Inuyasha characters on my folder. So mm-hmm. like Kikyo was, I think she was English because that was my favorite subject. I always thought Kikyo was that bitch. Mm-hmm. And Inuyasha was math because, like, I wasn't good at it and, like, stuff like that. And I made, like, my first friend actually because he asked me who a character was on one of the folders. And that's kind of how, like, we had a conversation. And so Inuyasha has always had, like, this really, like, special spot for me because it literally, like, opened up, like, friends to me and, yeah, and it kind of really, like, opened my eyes to what anime is and, like, what it could be and, like, the potential of it. So, yeah, it's always been kind of, like, this dope thing. So, yeah. What about you?
I remembered, like avidly, like, I whenever Toonami was happening, when it moved from it being, like, a Monday through Friday, like, mid-afternoon block, and then it going to Saturday nights, and mm-hmm. that's kind of where it was and where it kind of continued to flourish after that. I remember being in college and that first ending theme, they're like, dun, 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 dun.
Yes.
And yeah, which It's so good. I'm gonna play a little clip of it in the show, but it's
Perfect. Man, so I don't have to run to my phone to grab it. I have it right here. Oh my god, I have it.
Yeah,
I have it. Hold on. Oh wait, no, that's a terrible quality. This one's better.
I'll play. I'll insert a clip of it in the show. When I
bitch,
we'll do it in post. We'll do it in post.
Got you. But you know, I have it on my playlist. It's ready.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I love that first intro, and then the first ending, and then like the second one was that Duaz Infinity song, which is just it's so good. It's
beautiful.
I have a playlist that I haven't really updated that playlist since like the mid-2000s of like anime theme songs that I had.
Yes.
And I've had that playlist for such a long time. It's gone from me from computer to computer that I've had, and man, those songs are like, I'm like, oh man, this is like childhood. This is like my first couple of years in college and everything. This is like, oh, so many good memories. But
where did you used to download the music from? Because if you say the site, I think you're going to say, bitch, I am going to scream.
What is the name of that site? What is the name of it? What is the name of it?
It's like GEN something.
Oh fuck. I think it was that site. And then it was that, and then that's when I was like really like being an internet pirate and getting everything from like LimeWire and all that shit. I forgot, but I know what you're talking about. I know that website.
Because it has like all
it had
of
everything.
The, it had it listed by anime, bitch. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was everything.
Yeah. Oh my god. Man, the early days of the internet where you were just trying to find that one anime theme song.
And that's it. All I wanted to do was listen to anime music on the way to school on the bus. That's it.
That's it. That's all. That's all.
Period. That's all I wanted.
Period. That's it. Like, I would burn CDs. I would burn CDs of, like, just, like, anime theme songs that I wanted.
I have to, like, maybe I might share it on Twitter. I'll, like, screenshot and go. Maybe I'll screenshot, or maybe I'll even, like, videotape my old iPod, because I wish I could show you the playlist that I had, because I had moods for, like different animes and, like, different songs, and, like, I had all kind of playlists. Like, you could go in there and find, like, you could say, like, Full Metal Alchemist Happy and find something. Oh, my God. It was everything.
Oh, man. Oh man, that's taken me to a place and time,
like
to simpler times.
Period. I mean, it's just like, but the Inuyasha music was just like a really big part of that. Like,
yeah,
and especially the ending themes. I think Inuyasha is one of the only animes where I feel like the endings were a bit more impactful than like the openings.
Yeah, I think the ending themes of that show in particular are the ones that really stood out.
Like it was. I mean, and they were always beautiful. And the thing I liked about the opening themes is that Inuyasha opening themes always had, like, sound effects in them, which I thought was really neat, because no other anime I've seen has done that since. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really cool. And also, too, like the character design, I think, sometimes gets kind of slept on, because I thought that the characters and, like, designs look really fucking dope.
Oh, no, they're good. Like, the designs of all the main cast of Inuyasha is really good. Mm-hmm. I love all of those designs. I think that Sesshomaru's design is probably the big standout.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, at least of what I've seen in my many years of watching anime, have ever really seen a design for a character that really stood out in that same way that Sesshomaru's design did. And it's like a really good design. Like, Rumiko Takahashi is really good at designing characters, and I think that's part of like why she is as iconic as she is. She knows how to make stories that sell. She knows how to design really great characters. She knows how to make drama, romance, all that stuff. Like, period.
Period. So like, so you just watched Inuyasha for the first time, right?
I watched bits and pieces of it like while it was on Toonami. But I never watched all of it all the way through, because I kept thinking, like I was saying earlier, that I thought it was just the same 20 episodes that I saw over and over again.
Got it.
But it was actually like probably way more of the show that I saw. But all the episodes were kind of a lot of the episodes were kind of the same. But, for the most part, between major story beats, they're pretty much the same. But I was like, you know what? I don't recall ever, like, seeing the ending of what Inuyasha is. So
right.
I'll start watching Inuyasha from the beginning. All of it's on Hulu. Like, the first couple of seasons are on Netflix. And then I switch over to Hulu because that's where all of it is, both the original run of the animated series plus Inuyasha, the final act.
Oh,
and I believe all amazing. Of the movies, too, are yeah. all on Hulu as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went through and watched all of it. It was what I watched while I was working on the Dream Daddy comic. That's kind of yes. what got me through getting Dream Daddy finished, was watching all of Inuyasha.
And watching what was funny, a bunch of daddies while drawing daddies.
And I think what was really funny about that is that, like, I finished watching Inuyasha as I finished the comic. So I literally, like, got wow. through all 200 episodes of Inuyasha working on that comic.
Holy shit.
Because, like, the episodes are 30 minutes, so you can get through a ton of episodes really quick. So I would just come home from work. I would work for 3 or 4 hours and just turn it on and let it do its thing. And then that's 2, 4... Like, the episodes are, like, 22 minutes each, so you could kind of get right. through pretty quickly. And since I pay for the ad-free version of Hulu, because who has time for commercials?
Agree.
Like, I just get through them so fast. So it's good. Like, I really like Inuyasha a lot. I do think, and I've said it before on the show, like, I think the show suffers from a thing where it, like, it doesn't let the audience just, like, watch what happens. It has to explain everything to the audience over and over and over and over again. Like, I don't know how many times, like,
oh no,
in, like, a span of, like, maybe 3 or 4 episodes.
Oh no,
where they're all like, we have to go find the sacred jewel shards.
I knew it was coming. The Shikon jewel,
the sacred jewel. And what's so funny about anime is what they'll do, especially, like, in that time where they were dubbing anime, is that they will say the Japanese word, but then, like, say what like the English name of it is in the same breath.
Right.
So it's so weird. Like, every time it's like, weird. It's like, oh, Inuyasha has a sword. It's called the Tetsaiga. And it's made from his, it was a relic from his father that died. And his brother, Sesshomaru, has the other sword called the Tensaiga. And it's like, you just told me that, like, 3 episodes ago.
But also, okay, think about who Inuyasha is made for, though.
True,
like,
yeah, true. So there's, part of that is the demographic that it's aimed towards as well, too.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I get it. But I mean, like, here's the thing. Am I going to Inuyasha to have an anime that's going to stir my soul about, like, the critical theory about the meaning of life? Hell
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
But, like, am I going to see Kagome make that nigga sit and Kikyo shoot some arrows and brrrr, pew, pew, hell yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I think if you take it like that, yeah. But I get it.
Yeah.
It is repetitive because a lot of the pattern of the show was very much like, find sacred jewel shards. Naraku has a barrier. Inuyasha can't break through the barrier. Tetsaiga gets a power up. Break through the barrier. Inuyasha gets another barrier. Sesshomaru comes and tries to kill Inuyasha. Moroku's wind tunnel's going out of control. Sango wants to fucking help Kohaku. Like, and it's like, mm-hmm. repeat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, you know, I liked it, and I, as a kid, like, I didn't really care, because I was just like, I remember as a kid, I just remember thinking, like, damn, there's so many episodes because there's so many shards.
maybe they're just 196 jewel shards.
Like, I was like,
one per episode.
I remember when, that's what I when it broke at the beginning, I was like, damn, this is going to be a long ass show.
Like, I'm just trying to imagine, like, little baby Rakim, like, seeing the pilot, like, the first episode of Inuyasha, and then when the fucking sacred jewel breaks, it's like, whew, shit, I better buckle up for my mom.
I was like, whoa, child, the ghetto. I was like, damn.
The feudal era truly is the ghetto, my God.
I can't remember. Was it you that was that reblogged that thread that was talking about how it was like Kagome's family was trash because then nobody missed that bitch?
Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. It was so, it's so fucking funny. Like, when she comes back, they're like, oh, hey, Kagome. Grandpa just made up some more shit about you being sick while you were in the feudal era.
She's like, bitch, you haven't seen me in forever. What do you mean? Like, like, and Kagome's like 14, and she's literally like, imagine in the real world, like someone asking where your daughter, like your 14-year-old daughter, and you're like, oh, I threw that bitch down a well because her fairy boyfriend said that they're going to the feudal era of Japan if they jump down there.
Oh my god.
Like, child services will be called so quickly, bitch. Like, oh man, what a time.
Oh my god. But I guess I'm hoping that the demographic of the people that listen to the show, like, know what Inuyasha is. But just for the sake of radio and podcasting, I'm going to just briefly read a bit of the synopsis of the show. I think hopefully you probably gathered what the show was about. It's about Inuyasha and Kagome looking for the sacred jewel to try to put it back together and all that. But this is the synopsis coming from Wikipedia. It says, let's see. The series begins with Kagome Higurashi, a 15-year-old schoolgirl from Tokyo who's transported to the Sengoku period of Japan after falling into a well in her family's shrine, where she meets a half-dog demon, Inuyasha. When a monster from that era tries to take the magical Shikon jewel embodied in Kagome, she inadvertently shatters the jewel into many pieces that are dispersed across Japan. Inuyasha and Kagome start traveling to recover it, but before the powerful demon, Naraku finds all the shards. Inuyasha and Kagome gain several allies during their journey, including Shippo, Moroku, Sango, and Killala. In contrast to the typical comedic nature of Rumiko Takahashi's previous work, Inuyasha deals with darker, more serious subject matter, using the setting of the Sengoku period to easily display violent content while still retaining some of the comedic elements. So, Inuyasha is part, like, action dramatic violent show, but also like a romantic comedy, because half the show is like the whole thing is like Kagome is like the reincarnation of Kikyo, who Inuyasha is in love with. And I guess we can talk about the beginning of the show where Kikyo is trying to heal the person that is Naraku, that's all like wrapped up in the bed, and and was like, oh, the sacred jewel, I need that so that I can become a demon. And so Naraku is a stunt queen.
I was just about to say, this is really nigga shit. Like, like, this is true. Like, when you really look at the plot of Inuyasha, it's literally love and hip-hop feudal era Japan. Love, hop, feudal era Japan. Because essentially the premise of Inuyasha is, so if we're going to be really real, the real main character of Inuyasha is Kikyo. And Kikyo should have been on everybody because everybody's getting lit up. But anyway, the plot of Inuyasha is essentially Kikyo is this priest who's protecting the Shikon Jewel. And she's in love with Inuyasha, who's this half demon who doesn't really like trust people, but they come together in like this way, and they're, you know, demons and humans coming together. And Naraku is this demon who then shapeshifts to look like Inuyasha and steals the Shikon jewel, and Kikyo thinks it's Inuyasha and shoots his ass to a tree. Very good reason to shoot his ass to a tree. And then Kikyo dies, and Kagome is like her reincarnation, and now they're trying to find the jewel which shatters. And like, niggatry and fuckatry occur. And like.
And then one other thing to mention too, like, Naraku was like, oh, well, Inuyasha and Kikyo want to get together because Kikyo can't live a regular life because her destiny is to protect the sacred jewel.
Right.
But if Inuyasha uses the sacred jewel to become human, Kikyo no longer has any of those responsibilities as a priestess, so she could live a normal life. Like, as a priestess, she can't get married, she can't, like, do any of that. Her life is dedicated to protecting this jewel.
And not only is she, like, a priestess, she's, like, the priestess. Like, Kikyo has, like, abnormally, like, strong, like, spiritual powers and shit. So that's why everyone's, like, depending on her, too.
Yeah. Like, everyone's like, oh, Kikyo, bitch, like, can you go slay this demon over here, bitch? Oh, Kikyo, bitch, there's another demon over here. Can you use your arrows
she
on that,
she essentially
bitch?
Fires, like, holy nukes at you. Like, if you notice, the one person that everyone is terrified of fighting the entire show is her. Because she will fuck you up.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's so.
Yeah, like, Kikyo is, like, the best person on that show. Like, she was just like, listen, I'm trying to save all you motherfuckers. I put you on that tree for a reason. Like,
Beyonce was looking at Kikyo when she recorded Don't Hurt Yourself. She was ready. Oh my God, I'm going to add that to the list.
Like, I wish that anime music videos didn't fall out of like cultural significance, because like that was also like a big part of like anime in like the early 2000s was like anime music videos, like the anime music video contests at conventions. People would win awards and shit for those things, and like I wish that part of like anime culture didn't kind of like fall to the wayside, because I definitely think that like no one makes, well, I don't want to say no one, but you don't really see people talking about anime music videos anymore. Like, people are just making like memes and all kinds of fun stuff, because I think that's kind of like, right, the next evolution of kind of what that kind of that similar style of content is like memes.
You know what it is, though, DJ, though? Because I feel like part of it, though, is back then being able to do that kind of stuff was almost kind of like this, like, skill, right? Back then, like, not everyone had, like, iMovie or access to, like, Adobe Cloud and, like, all this stuff. So, mm-hmm. To be able to put together, like, those music videos was, like, really impressive. And I know I wish I had my old YouTube account, because I kept, like, a list of, like, the best ones. Mm-hmm. And I remember there were certain ones that would have like this thing in parentheses, and it would say MAD in it. Mm-hmm. And I knew when I saw those that it was like extra good, because and like it was this whole thing. And you're right, there was this whole culture around it. God, mm-hmm. the nostalgia is hitting me right now.
Yeah, there's this one that I think is still up on YouTube. It's one for this series called Angelic Layer, which is done by the studio Clamp, which is kind of like, it's the same studio that does like Cardcaptor Sakura and mm-hmm. and all that stuff. But Angelic Layer is this like shoujo, but like also very shonen comic and anime about people that have these like can customize these like fighting dolls called angels, and you can like customize them to be whatever you want. It was kind of like this VR thing. So like you would mm-hmm. they would like battle each other. So you would be sitting in this like VR with like this VR headset on. And the lair is like the battle arena, and you would throw your angel into the lair, and you would fight other angels.
Huh.
And I think you would love Angelic Lair. You should check it out. I think it's on Crunchyroll.
I'm searching it right now on YouTube to see. Let's see.
Yeah, they did a remix to the second ending theme. It's called like Farewell to Starry Sky, and then there was an anime music video to that song, and it's like the longest fucking AM, because I think the remix is like 7 minutes, but like that AMV got me so hyped for that show. And then it's a really good show.
That's what they did. Yeah, and they were actually, like, encouraged. Like, this was, like, before YouTube started, like, copywriting everything. Yep. Like, you were encouraged to do that kind of stuff. Like, I remember the most popular AMV I've ever seen is the AMV of, like, Rock Lee versus Gaara, and it's, like, Linkin Park, and it's, like, 7 minutes long.
Oh, yeah. I know the exact one that you're talking about.
Like, that one, I had it on my MySpace profile. Like, and it's just, like, I remember I tried to actually do like a AMV thing style thing for, I was in like leadership in eighth grade, like student council, and like I was in charge of making like our goodbye video, and I made it in the form of like an anime music video, and like everyone loved it because it was just the culture at the time.
Right.
Damn, I missed that. I wonder if there was like there should be like a competition or something for that.
Yeah, I wonder if, I bet you anything, like, a lot of people that were making AMVs back then, that I hope at least some of those people have found, like, video editing jobs.
Right.
Whether it's with, like, Funimation or Crunchyroll or whoever, I hope that they've been able to parlay those skills from all those video editing things from making AMVs, found a career in that, because there's definitely a career to be had from that stuff. And it was, to go to anime conventions in, like, the early and mid-2000s, and then just to kind of see this culture rising up, like, when it was still just, like, only message board forums and still instant messengers and IRC chat rooms and all that stuff, before the Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all of that stuff, and Tumblr, even before Tumblr and all that, the culture surrounding anime is you really had to know and find these communities, and it's crazy how much that has changed now that it's kind of we have the access now. We have brands like Crunchyroll and Funimation and Viz that are people that are in our age group that work at these places that were part of those communities, that have been part of this, that came up in the same places that we did, but now there's actually like an industry and jobs to be had and money to be made from this space. That's the crux of our whole podcast is around all this stuff, which is insane. It's
right.
It's and really cool.
And you look at it even in a bigger macro sense, and it's the reason podcasts like this even exist is because of people like that. And it's just you know, you think about I think about how many animators now that are new animators that probably grew up doing the same things that we were doing, right? Looking at this stuff. And even these AMVs and stuff that people were making, and especially there were Inuyasha ones too, in shows that. There are people that are our age that are out there doing stuff because they saw the same thing, and that's what's so cool about it. Because it's you can have someone that didn't really have friends and we used to go home and watch D Gray Man, and then you have and then we have you who grew up in a completely different place, and then you have people that are animators, and we're all having these different experiences. Fact that you knew the AMV I was talking about all of these things. I'm sure there are listeners that felt the same way. And it's just so cool how how we all kind of came to these shows and these games for a release. And I think that's just so dope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really cool. Kind of how everything has all kind of come around. And to your point about seeing what animators and stuff are doing now that grew up with the same stuff that we enjoyed, you can see that stuff in the work. I'll use the new Shira show, for instance. That stuff is heavily lifted from they're heavily influenced by Sailor Moon and other magical girl stuff. The love that people have for these things translates into the works. You can see that stuff in The Amazing World of Gumball. You can see that stuff in Okay, KO, Let's Be Heroes. You can see that stuff in Voltron Legendary Defender, and all this stuff that's out right now have people that are at the helm of these projects that grew up with the same stuff that we did.
Right.
And we're seeing all that stuff kind of come full circle and be this is my love letter to these things because I grew up with it, and to be in a position to be able to do that and to make content that's kind of giving back to what inspired us coming up is really cool.
Right. It actually makes me feel really proud that stuff like My Hero Academia exists right now, because it's that is for some people what Naruto was for us.
Oh yeah.
And I want to actually just make a disclaimer for saying this. By saying that is by no means saying that Naruto was the best anime. That is not. It's by no means that. But it was so. So
but the
part.
Cultural. But the impact that show has had internationally, is unmatched.
Period. No other anime, maybe other than Sailor Moon, has had Dragon Ball Z that Naruto has. And it's just but seeing people grow up to My Hero Academia and seeing them being able to see that, oh my God, it's just I wish, because it's not. My Hero Academia is doing things that is just so. I know that you guys stan a lot, and everyone does.
Yeah.
But the way that that I see it talk about teamwork and it's not over exaggerated. It's literally you see them operate as a team. Mm-hmm. That's so it makes me so happy knowing that there were kids that were like me that didn't have friends that are seeing shows like this, that are seeing examples of what friendship can actually look in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And not these over exaggerated, I don't know why I just sounded like Sarah Palin right there. Those over exaggerated. Those over exaggerated things that you get in Shonen a lot. That's just so beautiful to see. So I'm really curious to see what in 10 years, what anime is gonna come out, right? Like, who's going to be watching, like, My Hero and, like, Attack on Titan and all this other shit that's out right now and then get really inspired by something and, like, what happens then?
Yeah. And I'm going to kind of, like, almost like a self-drag for, like, in terms of age. I just remember seeing, like, a one of those memes going around that's, like, what anime fan are you? And it's, like, old school anime. And they were, like, old school anime, like, Naruto and Bleach and this and that. And I'm, like...
No, I saw that too. That's bullshit. That's like, absolute no.
I was like, what?
Like, you're a child, sweetie. That's like, not it.
I was like, girl, what?
Like, I think it was like, I think it said that like old anime or something was like One Punch Man. And I was like, what?
I was like, what?
I was like, this just came out.
Like, less than like 5 years ago. What are you talking about? But yeah. Like,
what do you mean,
like
Fate Stay really Night, crazy. Bitch?
but it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's amazing the amount of access that we have now to where people can go and watch things that came out, like Rama One Half. Rama One Half came out in 1989. Like, that's when that show first came out. And like Sailor Moon came in like 1991, 92, I believe. And it's incredible to see that like we have this, like it's almost overwhelming now. Because we have, you have Netflix, you have Hulu, you have HiDive, you have Crunchyroll, you have Funimation, you have all of these resources for taking in content. There's so much of it everywhere. That's both like a blessing and a curse at the same time, which that's this is another conversation about streaming services and about how everything has its own streaming app. And it's basically like, well, what's the point of paying for all these streaming apps when you could just have cable and vice versa. And it's like a whole thing, but like, it's like the amount of access that we have today is incredible. So, a really short story. I was at a convention. This is maybe 2015. Mm-hmm. I was at a convention and I drew some stuff from Ranma One Half and I had it at my table with me. I was like, oh, cause I like Ranma. It's one of the things that like I grew up with. So I'll draw some fan art for it and see if it sells. And I had it at my table and people were like, what's this from? And I'm like, what? And then I was like, oh, it's from Rama One Half and blah, blah, blah. And explain like what it was about and everything. And they're like, oh, that's neat. And I'm like, it's streaming. Like you can watch it on Hulu. And then like fast forward to this past year at being at conventions, I was like, oh, I have a bunch of these prints left over. I'll bring them and see if anybody wants them. And people are like, oh my God, Rama One Half, holy shit. And I'm like, wow, like this stuff can kind of come full circle.
Yeah.
Again. Because I was watching Ranma on VHS. I was watching that stuff on Viz Media's VHS tape releases of Ranma back in the 90s and bootleg VHS tapes of like the movies and all that stuff. Like, you couldn't find that shit anywhere. And now, having the access to watch all this stuff at like whenever you want, however you want, on whatever screen you want.
Yeah.
Is so cool.
I'll tell you the full circle moment for me, the way that happened, something like that, was when I'm a huge Detective Conan fan. Like, yeah. I love that show. And I remember when I was younger, this was also one of the anime that I accidentally happened to find. Like, this was like one of like the old episodes when it was kind of like a horror anime for like a little bit, because it low-key kind of got scary.
Yeah.
But like, I remember I was watching an episode like randomly when I was like younger, and then I remember seeing that episode on like Crunchyroll not too long ago or some kind of streaming service, and I would just remember thinking like, fuck, like I remember I was like, I don't know, like maybe in middle school when I used to watch that, and the fact that I can just go back and watch this, like the fact that I like rewatched the Dark Tournament saga of Yu Yu Hakusho not too long ago, that's like mind blowing to me, because it's like I remember how special that felt when I would like rush home to like see what would be happening just for those 30 minutes. And the fact that you can just have it immediately and watch it as much as you want, unlimited amount of time, that's like, it's actually like a mind-blowing concept to me.
It's crazy.
Hits blunt.
I remember on my birthday, we had some people over, and they're like, and we just had like a house party like for my birthday, and people were like, oh, well, what do you want to do? And I'm like, well, like, I want to watch like my favorite episode of Sailor Moon, because like it always makes me really happy, and it's the thing that I think about the most when I'm like bummed out or something like that. I always can go to the show and it always makes me happy. And so, like, the fact that I was able to, like, sit down at my fucking Apple TV and then just, like, open up Hulu and, like, go to season 2 and found the episode that is, like, my favorite episode of Sailor Moon.
And, wait, what is your favorite episode of Sailor Moon?
Let me get the episode title name and the actual episode number.
Okay, I'm curious.
Let me go to Hulu.com.
How about you bleach your roots, creep?
Yeah, go on, bleach your roots, creep. as much as I fucking hate like a lot of things about the old 90s dub, there were some great lines.
I love that 90s. I know it's terrible. I refuse to, like, when I heard the Japanese dub for the first time, I said, this won't do. I said, absolutely not. It's one of the few shows where I know the dub is terrible, but I refuse to watch it. Actually, the Inuyasha dub, I prefer too. Did you watch it subbed or dubbed?
I watched the show dubbed because there's no way that I could, like, do work at the same time. But I love the dub for Inuyasha. It was really good. The new Viz Media dub of Sailor Moon, however, is fantastic. So my favorite episode is season 2, episode 68, and the episode title is,
I forget that.
I want the full name because it's cutting it off right here. The episode name is, yeah, it's season 2, episode 68. It's Protect Chibiusa, the Clash of the Ten Warriors. So basically, it's the second season of Sailor Moon to kind of paint the picture. It's the second season of Sailor Moon, and it's where we meet the Black Moon Clan. It's the first part of that arc. It's the first part of that arc where it's the Spectre Sisters, and it's Katsi from the original 90s dub. Katsi, Birdie, and I forgot the other two's names in the old dub, but it's Koan, Berthier, Pets, and Calaveras are the four sisters, and they are like, we need to find Chibiusa. We have to find the rabbit. We have to kill her. We have to find her and go back to the future and go back to their present day Tokyo, which is the past for them. And Chibiusa is like really upset, and so she runs away. And she's at this construction site, and Usagi's, like, trying to find her and, like, apologize to her because she was mean. And she's talking to Sailor Pluto through the Luna P-Ball, and she's like, nobody likes me here, I'm all alone, blah, 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 this and that. And then Sailor Pluto's like, you have to be strong, you have, like, Sailor Moon is here to help you, like, you need to be with her to be strong and have her protect you. And that's kind of, like, the first moment to where you see, like, Usagi actually have, like, empathy for Chibiusa, because for the most part, up until that point, she's been very like, oh, you're so annoying and you're such a burden to me. Like, I hate having to deal with this, because still at this point, Chibiusa still doesn't know that Usagi is Sailor Moon, and Sailor Moon still doesn't know that Chibiusa is her daughter from the future.
Which is so, like, girl.
Which is like, I'm like, which is like, bitch, you're the only other girl that's here that has the same hairstyle as you.
Like, I'm just like, girl, who else has pink hair, you dumb bitch? I'm like, oh my god, Usagi's the only, that drove me insane. I was like, this girl has hair that looks like fucking spaghetti and meatballs, and yet we're confused.
Exactly. But but then it's like Sailor Moon is fighting off against the sisters, and then it's like, they're like, hold it right there. Then you see the other four like walk into the frame, like they're coming from, like, they kind of fade into the foreground of the scene. And it's like, they're coming, bitch. They are coming to fuck you up.
Period. That's
period.
It.
Like, period. That's it. There's nothing else left to say. Like, period.
As you've been talking about the episode, I brought it up on Daily Motion, and I've been, like, clicking through.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm actually shook because the character progression, like, Serena, fuck. Did I just call her Serena and not Usagi? I'm so sorry. I'll get off the show now.
No, I'm not worthy of being here. You're fine.
I'm so sorry.
It's all good.
Yikes. He's a poser! Get him off!
Wow. Yeah, that episode is really good. And the song that plays, it's one of the character themes that they have for the show. It's so hype, and it's beautifully animated, and it's like, it's everything that I love about the show. Like,
that's amazing.
It's like women being badass bitches, like doing their thing. They have powers, they have pumps, they have hair. They're just giving you poses, they're giving you everything. And they're like kicking ass, but like it's all about like love and like respect and friendship and all of those things. And I stan.
Also nigga shit. I mean, yeah. I mean,
there's that too. And the show is messy and petty. Like, it's so funny.
I live. Like, it's just like, there's a little bit of us in everyone. Like, there's a Sailor Scout in you too.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. We need to just get sound bites. Like, just every time you need encouragement, you can just say, there's a Sailor Scout in you too. And it's okay.
Period.
Oh my God. Damn. I love how happy Sailor Moon makes you, because I feel like Inuyasha is to me what Sailor Moon is to you in a way, like kind of, in that like it really did shape like so fucking much. And like the only thing I will say, Sailor Moon does have this. Inuyasha does not have transformation sequences like Sailor Moon does.
Mm-hmm.
But like if Inuyasha had like magical girl transformations, oh bitch, it would be over.
That show consistently is beautiful. That show is animated so well for the most part. And I remember looking at somebody posted this on Twitter, but I guess there was probably some sort of like an Inuyasha like art book of some kind that has like production notes from the anime. And there are production notes from Rumiko Takahashi in there that said, like, no matter what, like, when you draw Kagome, never draw her skirt up to where you can see her underwear. It's like little things like that. Like, no matter how like crazy the action is or anything, like, we don't need to see that. And that I thought was like a really cool touch. But it's like, that's a really cool touch, but like, there's still those kind of like traditional anime kind of like problematic jokes that are still in there, like with Moroku like touching like Sango's ass at every moment,
right?
Like in every episode, like
it's
every
all
second,
the time. Like, I started rewatching. Yeah. I started watching the Seven Deadly Sins season 3 yesterday.
Yeah,
and like that I'm
show
struggling.
Really, that show, if it didn't do all the shitty fan service things, would be so good.
Like, I'm struggling, but I'm like, it's sexual assault at every corner.
Yeah.
Like, all the time.
Yeah.
But anyway, but have you seen so since you were talking about the art and everything, have you seen the Inuyasha manga at all?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the art of that is gorgeous.
It is.
Actually, I don't know if I told you this. I actually was reading Inuyasha as it came out, like, in the manga. So, like, finished, because you know Inuyasha had like a break, you know, like before in the final act or whatever.
Yep.
So, well, duh, because the final act couldn't happen until the manga finished.
Right.
But as the manga was finishing, like I was like reading it as it was happening, and it's so interesting seeing like it being animated for the first time, because I will say sometimes anime does this thing where I feel like, and Inuyasha, I felt like almost kind of suffered from this too, where the stakes felt way higher in the manga than they did in the anime to me. Like to me, the manga was a lot more, like serious than the, anime was. And I think maybe just because of like the way it was drawn. So that was like a really like interesting comparison, because the way it's drawn feels a lot more mature than how the anime depicts it to me.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
No, it absolutely does make sense. Like it kind of depends sometimes on like the property, right? So like for instance, you can take like the Sailor Moon manga, for instance, like the manga looks very different from what the original anime looks like. Sailor Moon Crystal tried to take the manga style and make an anime version of that looks more closer to what Naoko Takeuchi's art actually looks like. And Naoko Takeuchi's style is one of those things that like, unless you have a show that has an actual budget, like, it's hard to make something that, like, meticulous, that, like, delicate and, like, pretty and beautiful look good with a traditional TV animation budget. Like, that stuff isn't gonna look good. There are several, like, instances and scenes in Sailor Moon Crystal that are gorgeous. I'm like, this looks like the manga. Like, this looks like as close as you can possibly get an animated version of what the manga looks like. Like, this is beautiful. But then that show is plagued with so many problems, and the biggest problem being its pacing. But what some shows have to do, they kind of have to, like, for the sake of being able to animate it, like, you kind of have to, like, pare things down. But fortunately, from looking at, like, images of, like, the Inuyasha manga versus what the anime looks like, it still looks a lot like her art, but it's like, oh, this is definitely, like, the anime version of what her stuff would look like versus, like, the manga version of what her stuff would look like. So,
oh, absolutely.
Which, and what was cool is that, like, Inuyasha is one of those shows that happened in, like, a really weird time in, like, animation, to where the first, like, think, like, 3 or 4 seasons of that show was still, like, cell-painted, like, traditional, like, cell-painted animation, and then it transitioned over into, like, a computer. Like, it went to digital animation instead. Because it was just, like, a sign of the times. Like, that's what they were moving away from cell-painted animation into digital. But a lot of shows weren't able to kind of replicate the same look going from like, a traditional, like, cell-painted show to a digital one. But Inuyasha looked consistently the same throughout that transition. And even at times looked better in terms of its animation in the later seasons than it did earlier on.
Yes, and I was shook because was I good. Actually yeah, hated that.
Yeah, because, like, a lot of shows suffered from, like, because, like, it was, like, no one really knew what, like, the same, like, you couldn't really do the same tricks that you could in a traditional standpoint to a digital one. So there are lots of things that, like, were weird, like, transitioning between those two mediums, but Inuyasha consistently looked good, and I really like all of those designs. I love that cast. That is a really good cast of characters.
Who is your favorite?
Zongo is my favorite.
Oh yes.
I'm like, she gets to ride a giant fire breathing cat and has a fucking oversized boomerang that's made of demons.
Period. Period. Like, what? There's nothing else to say.
A boomerang made of demons.
Oh my god! And then gets upgraded to even, like, oh my
but
god.
But I like stopped everything that I was doing when I got to the episode to where, like, Hirakotsu was so fucked up that, like, she had to, like, Sango had to go talk to the person that made it and was like, so you need to get into this well of water. No.
Can we talk about how that person, how her and Kaede were essentially, like, the Ayanlas of the, like, every time Sango needed a mammy titty moment, every time Inuyasha needed a mammy titty moment, they went right to Kaede and right to that bitch to talk about it, and then right to Totosai to talk about the swords. Like, oh, you're so right. Yeah. But yeah, Sango was actually my favorite character too, and she was my favorite design.
Mm-hmm.
I loved, because to me, she was, like, the only character that was, like, there for some real shit.
Yeah.
Like, and she was about her business. And, like, I just thought she was such a good, looking back, she's such a good, to me, like, other than the Moroku, like, groping thing, but I'm not really going to, like, victim blame. Like, other than that whole thing, like, she's such a great, to me, like, female character.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
Because she was talking, like, even though her thing kind of revolves around a man, it's, like, her brother. And, like, this protective thing of, like, what does it mean to be, like, a sister? And, like, what does it mean when you are trying to save someone, but, like, you saving them means that everyone else suffers? Like, it was really great stuff, actually, when you're looking back at it.
Yeah, and the whole thing, like, what was really consistent, what I love so much about her character was that throughout the whole show, even when she started having feelings for Miroku, like, that never stopped her or impeded her on her mission for saving her brother's life. She was like,
right,
you're cute and everything, but, like, my brother's right there. I'm gonna go try to save him from Naraku. Like, period.
Yeah, period. Like, and, yeah, like, that's on site. Like,
yeah.
Like, every time, like, every time she saw Naraku, it was on site. And I just, I don't know, everything about her was great. I also really loved Koga too, actually. Mm-hmm. Like, the wolf guy.
Yeah.
I thought he was really cool for some reason. And I also really liked Kaede too. I thought she was really, I don't know, I have a thing for, like, older women in anime.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, she warmed my heart.
And can we just for a minute talk about, like, again, that Naraku was a fucking stunt queen? Like, I'm just gonna jump from body to body, and then what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna separate my body into a baby where my heart is inside of the baby, and then my body is inside of another person. So, like, I'm in two different places. So, like, even if you kill one of me, you still haven't killed my heart. So I'm still, like, half here.
Like, Voldemort shaking Orochimaru is gone. Like, who, like, Naraku was so fucking annoying because it's like, that bitch would go to you knowing that if you, like, cut his head off, like, it's not going to do anything. He was queer.
Like, yeah. Period. And then it got to the point to where, like, Naraku just had, like, no bodies left, and he was just, like, a head in, like, a spider web.
Yes. And it's like, why, first of all, why spider?
Like, why does it always have to be spiders?
First of all, Naraku's his drag name because his real name is Onigumo.
Right.
Naraku is a character. Like, is Naraku Fifi O'Hara?
Fuck! Oh my god.
Did I just do a thing? Is that it? Like, I think
you just did something.
I think that's kind of it. I think
that is it, sis.
And mind you, the whole reason that Naraku is even doing this, Naraku's storyline is literally the same storyline as Obito and Naruto. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same. Like, they just got rejected. And it's
I get it, but, like, you're doing a lot.
It's fragile masculinity. Kikyo literally was like, no, I don't want to fuck you. And you couldn't just say no. You just, like, imagine being that pressed that someone swerved you, that you literally turn your body into demons and you let them feast upon your flesh because she said no.
Right, and, like, she said no, girl, because, like, she literally can't. Like, she literally can't do it. She's like, I have to protect the fucking jewel. Like, I'm a priestess, bitch. Like, I can't have a relationship. I can't put on makeup. I can't do regular ass bird shit.
She's hello, are you on drugs or something? But it's also like, okay, like, his whole body, like, sweetie, you are barely alive. Focus on breathing. Like,
like you are literally a head and a spider web by the end of it. Was all of this worth it? You know the girl that you wanted is dead, right?
Like
because of you.
Thank you.
Because
of you. She's gone.
She's dead because of you.
Like, you killed her.
Like, how are you still pressed?
Come on, make it make sense. Come on, preacher.
You killed. Why are you so pressed still?
Like, why?
You did this.
Can you explain that to me? Why was he trying to kill her? Like, what? Like, do you think she's going to go, oh my god, you know what? When you threw the miasma in my face for the 80th time, I realized that you were the one. Like, what? What? Where's the make it make sense, fam? Where? Oh, Naraku was ass backwards. He didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Oh my god. Oh, niggas ain't shit. Oh, that's pretty much what I learned.
Woo, child, the feudal era.
Oh my god. The woo, child. Era. You know, okay, you know one thing we didn't talk about though was Sesshomaru's relationship with Rin, because I thought that was, like, really kind of like, what did you think about that?
I was like, because I feel like they never explained, like, why he decided to, like,
save her.
Yeah. I missed something in, like, a moment of dialogue or something to where, like, what the reasoning was behind him, like, saving Rin and then having her follow him around for the rest of the series. But, like, that was very sweet of him to, like, I'm gonna take care of this one little girl. Like, you know, I'm gonna do that.
When he went into hell to, like, save her or whatever, mm-hmm. I was actually really touched by that shit, because, like, for Sesshomaru to do that, and I actually think he really cared about Jaqen too, to be mm-hmm. honest with mm-hmm. you. I just don't think he, like, said it.
Yeah.
But, like, I just thought that was really great, and I thought that, like, I don't know. I just thought that, like, his whole character arc was so great to mm-hmm. me, because it's really kind of about, like, I don't know. It's,
well,
he's kind of...
I loved that like, he was given the Tensega, so that, like, it's a sword that doesn't kill.
Right.
Like, it's a sword that heals. And it's like, I'm like, sis, like, lean into that. Like, maybe your dad is saying something. Maybe your dad is kind of throwing a little bit of shade, and it's kind of reading you a little bit. It's like, maybe you're, like, so angry that, like, you don't necessarily need the sword that like, cuts people in half. Maybe your brother, your little brother that's half human, needs this so that he doesn't die.
It's like, maybe if you calm the fuck down.
Maybe if you fucking, like, take a fucking chill pill, like, drink some water, like, take a nap, do
Gilgamesh
something.
Gilgamesh-ass bitch.
Do,
like,
something.
Calm down.
Like, calm the fuck down. You would see
get a
why.
Job.
Own a business.
Suck a dick. Sesshomru, get a job challenge. Do that challenge. What was Sesshomru's problem? Was that he was unemployed. That's what his problem was. He didn't have nothing better to do. I'm going to suppress my father face ass. Bitch, get it. Okay. Like, Inuyasha was busy helping Kaede and helping Kikyo run the shrine, minding his damn business. And what was Sesshomru doing? Sitting down.
Sitting in the woods being mad.
And how does Sesshomru's arc end too? He's literally just floating around in the sky. I feel like Sesshomru's actually high. I feel like that thing has, like, qualities that, like, give out pheromones, and he's, like, stoned half the time.
I'm like, what strain is it, Sesshomru? What strain is it? Is it a sativa? Like, what's going on, sis?
Oh my god. The weed that Sesshomru smokes, I need it. Like, I feel like him and Rihanna smoked the same strain. I know it. For some reason.
Do you think that Rihanna watches Inuyasha?
You know what? Actually,
yes. Is Rihanna actually a weeb?
I kind of feel like Rihanna would be Inuyasha. Like, I feel like,
is she low-key a weeb?
I kind of feel like Rihanna watches anime. Yeah. I do. I feel like Rihanna watches anime that, I feel like Rihanna likes psychopaths and shit like that. Like, I feel like she likes, like, Monster and, like, I don't know. Like, she likes really, like, gory,
like,
shit.
Like, dark shit, yeah.
Dark shit, yeah. I don't know. But I also feel like she also likes Sword Art Online for some reason. And, like, I could see her really liking Asuna. I don't know why, but I feel like that bitch would stand.
But, like, Asuna definitely slapped, like, that first half of season one.
Yes. Oh, we don't talk about anything after that.
We don't talk about anything after that, like,
no,
period.
We don't talk about that tank. Oh, my God. You know what? I don't know if I've talked to you about this. Did we talk about when Kim Kardashian posted 02?
We didn't talk about it, but I know. I think you might have mentioned it on Podcast of Color, but like, nobody knows what you're talking about.
Ever. I was, when Kim Kardashian, I wonder if it's still on her Instagram, when she posted that picture of 02 and she's like, that's the reason why I got my pink hair. I said, is Kim Kardashian sitting on Saturday mornings waiting on niggas in the Franks like the rest of us? Like, what? I was like, is she really involved with what's going to happen with Ichigo and Hiro? And, like, what's happening? Like, what a time. I wonder if she watched Inuyasha. I wonder if Beyonce watches Inuyasha.
I mean, we know that Beyonce watches Game of Thrones at least, but...
So that's, like, adjacent to Game of Thrones, right?
Tangentially, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, there's dragons in both. I don't fucking know. Oh, God. What anime do you think Beyonce watches?
If Beyonce watched anime, I think that Beyonce would really... Because everybody likes it now that she's got kids. Like, I think that Beyonce would, like, sit and watch My Hero, like, with her babies.
I think so, too. I think Beyonce would also really enjoy, like, I feel like Beyonce would really like Attack on Titan for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, like when she's done with the babies, she'll just, like, go and, like, log into her Crunchyroll account and then watch Attack on Titan.
I feel like Jay's walking by. He's like, what's that? She's like, shh. Shh, that's my shit. Be quiet.
I'm just, like, dying at, like, the thought of Beyonce shushing Jay-Z.
For like, oh, you know what happens.
To watch
oh, please.
Anime.
Please, I know. I'm sure Beyonce has had to see some kind of anime because someone's had to show her something. I'm sure her nephew watches it and was like, watch this. And she's like, okay, baby. And the whole time she's like, what the fuck is this bullshit? This is demonic. I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh. But this has been, like, a really awesome conversation. And before we wrap up, I asked some of the folks in the Magical Boys Discord server to see if they had any questions because a bunch of people in our Discord server found out about our show through Podcast of Color.
Oh, amazing.
Which is awesome. So I posed a question. I was like, hey, so Rakim's going to be on today. Do you have any questions for him and I?
Since they don't answer questions on their own fucking show anymore.
So this question comes from Ugg Juice. And their question is, the first question is, will my wig ever get a break from the two of y'all? The answer to that question is no.
No.
But the actual question is, but seriously, favorite Keyblade from the Kingdom Hearts series and why?
Ooh, that's actually a great question. The Fairy Harp, which is the one you get from Tinkerbell, because it, to me, it's like the little Keyblade that could, and like, I think that's really, really cute. I like the green on it. And then I also really like the one you get from Cloud. What's it called? Like Fenrir? The one that's like a giant key, like that looks like a Honda key. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
What's yours?
Oh, God. I don't remember the names of any of them because I haven't like touched a Kingdom Hearts game in a minute. Like
I don't blame you.
I played that the 0.3 thing with Aqua. That's kind of like a little taste of what Kingdom
I'm
Hearts
dead.
Be
it's
like.
0.2, and you dumb bitch.
Fuck 0.2. I can't do math.
I mean,
I'm a dumb bitch.
No, you're not. I mean, there might be a 0.3 out there, to be honest.
I don't know.
You.
I don't know whatever that one, but that one, which, because at first I was kind of like, man, fuck Kingdom Hearts, because I was kind of like over it because of like. Kingdom Hearts 3 getting pushed back and back and back and back and back. And then I played that game and I was like, oh,
You're like, oh, okay, I get it.
I was like, I'm in. I'm, yeah. like, I'm like, if this is what Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be, I'm in.
That demo reel was literally the equivalent of them going, period. Like, that's pretty much it.
Because when when you're fighting and you build up that meter to where you do like that super hella big attack to where Aqua starts like fucking twirling.
Where you, like lock on to everything?
Yeah, and then, like...
Where it's like...
And then, like, Aqua, like, spins and twirls for, like, 30 minutes, and I'm like... I was like, yes! And I'm like, okay.
Amazing.
I'm like, I'm in. Okay, I'm gonna fucking get this game. But because I'm a giant raging homosexual, I really like the Kairi's Keyblade, the one that has, like, all, like, the flowers and stuff on it.
Oh, my God.
Because it was, like, really cute.
That ugly Antony-ass Keyblade, or that queer eye for the stray ass Keyblade... Wow, okay. That Jonathan Van Ness ass Keyblade.
But
okay.
We stand Jonathan Van Ness in the top. I love him.
Oh, I mean, yes, but not the other stuff you said, but sure.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, I just don't remember I don't remember the names of all the blades.
But thank you for your question.
And let's see. Let's see. This one is from King Lupa. And King Lupa says, if you were a Pokemon trainer, what would your element be? And what would be your main Pokemon?
Oh, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll go first. I'm torn because I love water type Pokemon so much. Mm-hmm. But then I also like electric type Pokemon because I just want a Pikachu like around me at all times. So like I think if I had to pick like an element, it would be water. I would definitely be like water for sure. Cause I love just like surf. I just love that ability, period.
Yeah.
I just love any of the fucking like hydro pump, all that shit. Like I love it.
You just said, I love that ability, period. Like, period.
Like there's something else I have to say, like, period. But
my element would be
water, but I would also still have a Pikachu because I would just teach my Pikachu surf.
Amazing.
Because it can.
Amazing. I would do ice, and it would be okay. So it would be ice, and here the Pokemon would be a Golduck, which is not an ice type, but it can use ice type moves. Mm-hmm. If it has to be an ice type, then I would say Dugong. But I've always wanted Dugong to be Lorelei.
Yeah,
like since I've been younger, and I don't know what it is about. It's something about that little ponytail that she got, and like. I don't know. Something about that bitch was different. And I said, this bitch is on some other shit. Like,
oh, she's different.
I was like, she's different. I was like, everyone thinks it's Lance, but it's really Lorelei. And it's like, that bitch is first for a reason.
Yes.
And so I don't know. I think that she's part of the reason why I started my obsession with like ice type everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Awesome. And then this one's a little aggressive, but
okay.
I
like that.
It comes from Kaythorn, and it says, "Will DJ be returning to Podcasts of Color?"
So this question is from DJ.
No, it's not from me. It's not from me.
It is from you.
No, it's not. I promise.
DJ, what does Marvel say? DJ will be returning.
Oh my god, so funny.
Sooner than you may think, actually. So.
Yeah, I've said it, like, every time that you've been on the show, but, like, whenever I'm just listening to the show with y'all, I'm, like, in my car, like, yelling back at the fucking, at my fucking iPhone, just like, that yes, video. I'm like, bitch, me too, the fuck?
You know that video of that girl on the bus, like, arguing to the air?
Yes, that's me, bitch. Having whole-ass conversations by myself. Stuck in traffic, just like, bitch, me too.
Oh, thank you. That's such a compliment, though. Like, yeah. Because we really do want it to feel like they're just sitting around and just talking and, you know, yeah. And just shooting the shit. And yeah. I hope that y'all felt like that today, too, because all we really do is just get high and drunk and just talk shit about Inuyasha and anime. And this is just how we talk normally. And, yeah. Like, I hope that y'all enjoyed it, because I really do love coming on and I really love what y'all do. So,
yeah, I mean, like, but you're such
period.
A, like, period. Like, it's always, I'm like, any opportunity that I have to, like, actually talk to you, not just, like, text or just, like, exchange tweets with you, I'm like, this is so lovely. I love it. It's so much fun.
Aww.
I'm like, that's a real bitch. That
Thank
one.
You.
That's a real ass bitch.
Thank you, friend.
Mm-hmm. Of course, friend. But to wrap up, where can people find you?
You can find me at everywhere. On Twitter at Blue Keyblade. And then everywhere else at Rakeem C. So it's RAKEEMC. If you are on Twitter and you have the Rakeem C at, and you will let me use it, I would really appreciate it, because branding. But yeah. And is it weird for me to ask where can they find you, because it's your show?
No, but also, can you give some people like the links and stuff for our Podcast of Color?
Oh, right. I forgot. Fuck those bitches, right? And you can find Podcast of Color at Trash of Color, and then everywhere else at Podcast of Color as well. And then also, if you go to like our Instagram, we post minute clips of every episode that we do, so you can kind of get a sense of what the show is as well.
Oh my god. I'm still... What's the... You sent me a clip a while ago.
Uh-oh.
And I'm trying to think of the episode that it was, but it was so fucking funny. Fuck, what episode was it?
I'm going to try to go back and see if I can find it, because there was, I just opened up to see the last picture that I sent you, and I said, oh. Do you remember what it is?
Let me see. I think there's a clip that's coming up. Hold on. There's like one clip. Oh, I think it's this one. No. It's not that one.
No, I can't find it either. There's a bunch of whoo child the ghetto videos in here.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Oh my god. But yeah, I mean, there are just so many good episodes. If you're gonna listen to one, like if I could recommend an episode for people to listen to of your show, mm-hmm. The episode where you all have a conversation about I guess, was it about imposter syndrome, or was it kind of
yeah.
like, yeah. So the episode that you guys had about that was like, oh, bitch, like this.
Oh, thank you.
This is like hitting me like inside the house. Like,
oh no.
But people are like, oh, that hits close to home. I'm like, no, that's that open the fuck up.
Like, why are you like this?
It's so good though, because it's so fucking real. It's like,
oh my god,
shit.
Oh,
that
I
was,
hate this.
That was some real shit. But
oh man,
oh my god. But as always, you guys can find me at Oh Hey DJ on everything. It's O H H E Y DJ. The only platforms that matter are Twitter and Instagram for me. So you can just find me there. And
tea.
I will say, because this episode will go up before before Ruben's wedding, so I just want to say congratulations to you, to Ruben and Aaron. I'm so happy for you guys. Like, you two are like the best people, like, that I've ever had the ability to call friends, and I'm so happy that you guys have each other, and that, and you guys have been through a lot together, and you're like one of my best friends. I love you to pieces. I want your love to last forever. I love you all so much, and congratulations to you guys on your wonderful day that's coming up this Sunday. Love you lots, and that's it. So thank you so much for joining us this week, and we will see you guys next time. All bye. Right.
Brum, 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 brum. Oh, brum, wait. Brum, brum, brum,
that works too.
Wait, sorry. Bye.
Bye. No, you're fine. You're fine. Brum, 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 brum.